The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, your timing is perfect, unless that is spoken with a tinge of sarcasm. It is meant to be a compliment. In fact, depending on what it is applied to, it could be a very high compliment. If you've ever worked hard at practicing the timing of a turn of the double play at second base, or if your interests are standing in front of a crowd waiting for you to roll out the punchline at just the right moment on the perfect joke, you realize timing is everything in moments like that. But there are more important, more life-changing interests that also have everything to do with timing being perfect. Ask anyone who's sung in a choir, served on a surgical team, or tried to win an election as part of a political campaign. And likely they will all have stories to tell of how they learned the lesson the hard way through failure as to just how important timing, perfect timing, can be. God's timing is always spot on. Now, you and I, we struggle with that reality at times because there are certainly moments in our lives where we wish to bark back at God about his timing, questioning it, wondering why now, why this, not something we wouldn't choose for ourselves, or at least wouldn't choose for that moment. And yet, if we take enough of a step back, we let enough time roll on, that we find any level of objectivity at all, thinking back on that moment, we're eventually led to realize, well, God's timing is different from ours. His timing is best. God's timing is perfect. I'm not saying that as a hypothetical theory that I'm trying to convince you of. I'm telling you that as an axiom. God's timing is flawless. And I have plenty of scripture to back me up. In fact, those who have gone before us, who have made the choices regarding the portions of scripture that we will use for our lessons or our verse of the day or even our psalms on any given Sunday, they give us opportunity as the seasons roll through the church year to come back to this theme over and over again. For instance, you may recall from the Christmas season, on more than one of the Sundays in our three-year rotation of readings, the epistle lesson for one of the Sundays after Christmas lays out this verse from Galatians chapter 4. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those that were under law. The early portion of that verse could easily be appropriately translated, when the perfect moment arrived. And that Sunday, if it's chosen to be the verse that is preached on, is likely to be all about the fact that all of history hinges on that moment when God chose to bring his Son into the world, and might include some exercising, some examining of the historical facts that are brought to bear in that conversation. about the geopolitical situation, and all kinds of other things like common currency, a common mail system, you name it, all kinds of other factors that play a role not only in Mary and Joseph arriving at just the right moment in Bethlehem to, after the ascension of Jesus, the absolutely miraculous spread of the gospel as quickly as it happened to the populated world of the day. Today's verse from the Gospel of John, our verse of the day, is really no different. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus didn't speak these words on Palm Sunday, but he did speak them very early in Holy Week as a summary of everything that was unfolding in his life and his ministry, beginning with his entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He knew the purpose for which he had come into the world. He knew exactly every last detail of everything that would unfold, how all of his ministries and all ministry and all of his miracles had led to this particular moment. And he knew what he was facing, how everything would proceed, exactly where it would end. It's almost as if, as the scriptures present all of this to us in the Gospels, as if we're watching a drama in which the lead character suddenly turns either to the audience or the camera and speaks directly and says, "Pay attention now, because everything that's happened up to this point is all about this particular moment." The fact that Jesus refers to himself in this verse as the Son of Man is very significant. He knew he was the Son of God, but he knew in this moment of his imminent suffering and dying that while he was fully God in every way, he had to have become the Son of Man, a human being like us, in order to be able to die. And while the throngs celebrated his arrival that day in Jerusalem, shouting their hosannas and proclaiming their praises to God and pleading with God that he save them, which is ultimately what the word hosanna means. It's a prayer. It's an exclamation of prayer. I doubt there was anyone in that crowd that day proclaiming their praises that Jesus had arrived in that moment to die. But that is precisely what the Son of Man had come to do. And death was his path to glory. That sounds odd even to my own ears as I express that historical truth to you out loud. For every other human being, especially when considering such a brutal death of torture and crucifixion, our thinking about it would not be connected to glory in any way for any observer or any commentator. But Jesus is laying out the commentary here, and he simply assures us that the moment, this moment, is truly all about glory. And think through the moments that are about to unfold in front of us for a moment. In his quiet, confident dignity, each step of Jesus' journey from this moment when he mounts the donkey to those quiet early morning moments when the women expecting to find his body in a grave find it open and empty, is there ever even a hint of Jesus being unhappy or unwilling in any part to take his part in all of this? No. In fact, he showed numerous times along the way how none of this was all happening to him as others planned it out and brought it out step by step. the violence, the insults, the arrests, the trials, the flogging, the crowning with thorns, the nailing to a cross. There are moments along the way where if you listen carefully and watch intently, you will be led to realize he's directing all of this. He's speaking words that raise the level of hatred and venom against him, infuriating his enemies so that they will go through with everything that they've planned as they think those plans are their own. But it is really just the opposite. So many of these elements, so many of these acts of violence actually fulfilling ancient prophecies that we read on Good Friday. It's hard for us to see Jesus directly and intentionally driving all of these things to their final reality. Every thought, every movement, every word, every sweaty drop of blood, a masterpiece of glorious price paid for the sins of the world. We take great pains. We go to even greater lengths to avoid suffering, ridicule, pain of any kind, indignity, persecution. Jesus walked straight into it. He even fanned the flames hotter and more violent against himself. It appears that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus' own words, his own statement, are parallel in our day to simply saying, bring it on. I'm ready for this. I was born for this. I was brought into the world for this. This is my purpose. This is my plan. This is my moment to fulfill for all humanity my destiny promised to Adam and Eve. In that moment of uncertainty and bewilderment when they knew the reality of God's condemnation to death, they knew they were dying. And God came to them and said those promising words that now were echoing in Jesus' ears. He knew that this moment was that moment. All of that violence, all of that hatred was the prick on the heel as he crushed Satan, death, and hell through a willing and triumphant sacrifice on the altar of the cross. It's the most glorious act any human being could ever commit themselves to, suffering through persecution and death and knowing resurrection. Heaven and eternal life hang in the balance. I don't know that you and I have really thought through often enough how there can be nothing more glorious than that. Timing is everything. So it is so good that you are gathered here in worship today with your fellow believers. Timing is everything. So it is so good that you have plans, that you've dedicated time to gather again with your fellow believers on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, maybe even twice, Easter Sunday, to follow this path that Jesus has chosen to glory. Jesus invites you to join him and examine his timing for yourself. And his goal in having you join him is that you might learn of his love for you, his willingness to pay the ultimate price for your sins, so that you might stand at his empty grave next Sunday morning convinced that he knew exactly what he was doing, that he was the one making it all happen according to his timing, which was, is, and always will be perfect. But also, that you just might quote with conviction these very words of Jesus, not only Easter morning, but every day that comes after that, as you think on and carry out your prayers, your proclaiming of God's name to the world, your offerings, your worship for the rest of your life, that you might understand that in all of those things that you give to your Savior as praise and thanksgiving for his walking head on into this moment in your place, that you are actually saying yourself, the hour has come, this hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.